Chapter 14. I woke up on the bed of the spacecraft, and it took a second to remember why I was there. Adhara was humming softly beside me, and I rubbed my eyes before I sat up with a yawn. We had waited by the radio for as long as we could and then collapsed on top of the bed after a couple of hours. I had no idea what time it was, but it must have been early morning because I could see a hint of yellow sunrise through the front window. "Holy shit," I said, as I remembered what day it was. "I'm getting married today."
"Hmm?"
Adhara mumbled, and she wrinkled her nose as she snuggled into my side. "Wakey, wakey," I chuckled quietly as I stroked her silver hair. "We should go and join the others. It's a big day ahead of us." The beautiful alien slowly pushed herself up and rested her head on my shoulder as her eyes opened.
"They did not send reply message,"
Adhara said sadly.
"I thought we would be woken by them last night."
"I hoped so too," I said. "It would have been one hell of a wedding gift to tell the rest of the girls that the war was about to end." Adhara tugged at her silver hair, and I kissed the top of her head before I started to shuffle off the bed. We had fallen asleep in our clothes, so I just grabbed my sharp gun before I strode through the control room, down the sleek metal corridor, and toward the exit. When I stepped out onto the jungle floor, I was immediately met with warm, still air and a distant chirp of birds. Adhara jumped out to join me, and we started to walk back to the base. "It's a beautiful day for a wedding," I grinned, as I glanced at the rising sun through the fronds.
"Are you excited for a wedding?"
Adhara asked. "Hell yeah, I am," I said. "We've had our share of shit luck. I'm looking forward to having fun with my girls. They deserve an amazing day. You all do."
"Becca chose outfit for me,"
the alien said.
"I do not know how it will be. I am nervous to wear it."
"You'll look gorgeous," I smiled. "Let's just try and enjoy ourselves as much as possible today. No worrying, okay?"
"No worry,"
Adhara repeated with a nod as we reached the gate. I pulled the handle and opened the gate to find two men smoking inside the enclosure. They were both sitting on the ground with a book in hand and cups of coffee by their sides. They gave us a wave as we passed and then continued to read.
Jason,
Adhara said hesitantly as we got into the elevator.
"When you are married to Becca and Haewon, does that mean we can still..."
She trailed off and wiggled her fingers by her side as I hit the golden button. "Mate?" I grinned, and she nodded. "Of course," I said gently. "You and Kat are still just as much of a family to us, okay? Don't worry, there'll always be mating, I promise."
"Good,"
she nodded with relief.
"Always mating. This will be a very good time."
"It really will," I snickered, as the elevator sped downward.
"I hope I have child,"
she trailed off. "We'll keep trying," I said, as I squeezed her hand. I could hear voices and noise before we even reached the ground floor, and when we arrived in the lobby, I was shocked to see the space crammed full of people. I said as the glass doors slid open. "Did we sleep in or something? I swear, the sun literally just came out." "Jason!" Sunhee called as we stepped out of the elevator. "Jason, there you are!" The youngest brother raced over to us and grabbed me by the arm. "We have been searching for you," he said in a mock scolding tone. "We must get ready for your wedding. Where have you been?" "Checking the radio," I said, as I looked around at the sea of people. "What's going on here?"
"You are getting married," Sunhee replied with a raised eyebrow. "You remember that, right?"
"Of course," I said hurriedly. "But what is everyone doing so early?"
"There is lots to do," Sunhee laughed. "Min Jun has already done 2 security briefings. He is helping to load the trucks with weapons right now."
"Wow," I grinned. "Okay, so I should get dressed then."
"Come with me,"
Sunhee sighed, as more men squeezed into the elevator.
"We have set up a room for you. Tay has your suit all ready for you. You should be more on top of these things. It is your wedding day."
I know, I chuckled. "I'm here." I glanced at Adhara, who was looking around the crowd with wide emerald eyes. I figured she might be looking for the other girls, and I didn't want to leave her alone during such a hectic morning.
"The girls are in a room together, too," Sunhee said as he noticed Adhara's expression. "They were looking for you as well. They are just down the women's corridor in room 9.
"9,
the alien repeated with a determined scowl.
"And They will show me how to be dressed for the wedding? I do not want to get it wrong. This is Jason's wedding.
I told you, I murmured as I leaned in close to her ear. You're going to look gorgeous. And you know the others will look after you. Go on. Have fun today, okay? No worrying.
Yes,
Adhara agreed.
I will find them and have no worry.
I kissed the lilac woman on the cheek and ran my thumb over her silver freckles. She let out a soft hum in return, and her glistening eyes met mine. I'll see you at the wedding, I told her. Adhara nodded once more, and then she held her head up as she strode through the sea of black-clad men with rifles. She parted the crowd as she went and headed off to join the other girls, and I was relieved to see all of Kwan's men keeping their eyes to themselves and their guns on their backs. Let's go, Sunhee said, and he grabbed my wrist before he yanked me toward the elevator again. Where are we going? I frowned. Aren't we going to Tay's room? No, Sunhee chuckled, as we squeezed in to join the men waiting by the glass doors. It is your wedding day. We are getting ready in a nicer room. The men around us spoke in quick Korean to each other and let us in first when the elevator arrived. We stood near the door, and the rest of the space quickly filled up. The glass room smelled like tobacco and coffee, and it occurred to me that I didn't have any cologne with me, or hair gel, or dress socks. I didn't really have anything except my new outfit and shoes, and I just hoped the other guys had some supplies I could borrow. The elevator stopped at the floor with the spa, and Sunhee pulled me out before the door slid shut again, and the armed men continued to head upward. The youngest brother led me right to the door of the spa, and I wondered if we were going to have some kind of treatment before we got dressed. Then Sunhee pushed open the doorway and led me into the room that had the bar in the middle. The space had been transformed into a luxurious changing room, and there was even a young man behind the bar with an apron on and a cocktail shaker in his hands. Three full-length freestanding mirrors had been placed around an area which now held chairs, clothing rails, and a stand covered in toiletries. Tay and G bustled around the clothing rails and arranged the hangers as we approached, and I let out a low whistle as I took in the lavish setup Haewon's family had arranged in here. There he is, Tay announced when he turned and saw me. We were worried you had changed your mind and run off. No way, I laughed. Even dinosaurs couldn't make me run off on Haewon. There, you see, Sunhee said with a grin. I said the same thing. Man kills dinosaurs and flies a spaceship to Korea. He's not afraid of a wedding. I just didn't realize we were getting ready so early, I chuckled.
The security will take a long time to be prepared,
G said.
Minjun and Kwan are making sure the men are ready.
You guys have really outdone yourselves, I said as I looked around the makeshift dressing room. This is fantastic, but I haven't had a chance to see Haewon or Becca this morning. Are they all set?
That is good to not see yet.
G smiled softly.
It is lucky to see them first at the temple, but I'm going to them now to help with dresses. Although, Becca seems to be handling that quite well on her own.
I'm sure she is, I chuckled. I was glad to hear G talk about my other bride-to-be so kindly, since I'd still been slightly worried the family was secretly pissed about me having two wives.
A big day for you,
G said, and gently squeezed my arm.
Then, before you know it, the children will be here. I hope you are going to give me a grandson.
Yeah, the girls hope so too, I grinned. I guess it's a 50-50 chance, though. Maybe I'll get one of each.
I'm glad they have not started to show yet,
G said with a sweet smile.
They will fit into their wedding outfits nicely, and then they bloom as your marriage grows. It will be a beautiful time for you.
I can't wait to see them, I said. They're going to be the cutest moms.
No, I am the cute one.
G chuckled quietly.
Kwan said this when I carried all my children. He is always right.
I won't argue with him on it then, I laughed.
But they will make you very proud, Jason.
Haewon's mom continued.
I am sure of it. Now, I will leave you boys to it.
The Korean woman smiled at me and then kissed each of her younger sons on the cheek before she hurried over to the door and let herself out. Your mom is an actual angel, I told Sunhee. Like, flawless.
Yes, she is, the youngest son agreed. Haewon is more like my father.
Too bad for you. I rolled my eyes at his broad grin, but then Tay clapped his hands together.
Ready to get married? Tay boomed. We will get ready in here, too. Make sure you don't fuck up.
I can't wait, I chuckled. You guys have got everything I could need here. Sun He hurried over to the bar, and I saw the bartender had poured something into 3 shot glasses. The youngest brother grabbed the glasses and strode back over with a wink.
A shot of soju, Sun He said. Just for us guys. Don't worry, it is not a very strong spirit.
I took one of the shot glasses and raised it up with a smile.
Zan, Tay cheered. That is what we say to cheers.
Zan, I replied, and we clinked our glasses before I downed the shot. It was surprisingly smooth and tasted like a sweeter version of vodka. Pretty damn good. I placed the glass down on one of the tables and looked over at the rail of clothing.
Your suit is on the right side one, Tay said,
as he pointed at my dark blue outfit, which was hung up next to a crisp white shirt.
Shoes are just underneath, and then we all have the colognes over on that table.
I headed for the clothing rail and started to take off my shoes and casual clothes as I looked at all the other clothing options that were hung up. Who are all these for? I asked.
They are just other options, Sun He shrugged. Appa had some things in one of the closet rooms. I guess a Terra guy owed him a favor.
Of course he did, I chuckled. Is there anyone on this island who doesn't owe Quan a favor?
Probably not, Tay said with a shameless grin. If there were, they are dead now,
Sun He snickered. The Burly brothers picked out their own outfits, and we got changed into our new clothes. The material of the pants was super lightweight, and I stepped over to the full-length mirror when I was done. The suit fit just as well as I remembered, and I nodded with approval as I admired the tailoring of the fitted jacket.
Not bad, I decided. Looking good, Sun He said, as the brothers buttoned up their black jackets.
They looked incredibly well off in the tailored suits, and it felt strange to know that in a few hours they would officially be my ripped, armed, and rich brothers. I strolled over to the toiletries and picked up one of the colognes to sniff. It had a deep, woody scent, and I could tell by the weight of the bottle that it was expensive. I tried out another one, which was much sweeter and had an almost cinnamon hint to it, but I went with the woody option since I had a feeling Kat wouldn't be into the cinnamon vibe. Then I took a comb and some hair gel over to the mirror, and I chuckled at the idea of getting tidied up in the middle of an apocalypse. I hadn't done more than ruffle my hair after getting out of a shower in weeks, but I added just enough gel to hold my look and not get greasy. After all, I would have all my girls running their hands through my hair that night. When I was done, I stepped back and gave myself a quick once-over to be sure I looked like groom material. I was surprised to find I cleaned up pretty damn good these days, and all the dino slang only helped fill out the nice suit to a respectable degree.
Nervous?
Tay asked, as he came and brushed down the shoulders of my jacket. I don't think so, I admitted. Definitely excited, but I'm just hoping we can get to the temple without too much trouble. It would suck to ruin this suit in a dino fight.
Do not worry, Tay said. We will have plenty of men driving with us. They will handle any messy situations.
What about my girls? I checked.
Yes, they will have the very best escorts, Tay assured me. My father insisted on it, since we know you are usually looking after them yourself.
I appreciate it, I replied.
All you focus on is the ceremony, Sun He agreed. You are about to go from no wives to 2 wives. That is a large step. Most men can barely handle 1 wife. Yes, and we cannot keep 2 brides waiting, so let's get going, Tay said, as he stood back and checked my outfit over. You look good. I think it's time.
I nodded and swung my sharp gun over my shoulder with 1 last glance in the mirror. It looked a little off to have the alien weapon slung over such a luxurious outfit, but there was no way in hell I wasn't going to carry a weapon with me. Even if Quan's men were on standby, I wouldn't take any risks. I hadn't come this far to get killed by vanity. We headed out onto the landing and hit the button to summon the elevator, and I smoothed down my shirt while I wondered if the girls would really be all right driving to the ceremony without me. We went everywhere together lately, and I couldn't help but worry about them being taken to a village that had been attacked so recently. I tried to put the thought of the Carnotaurus out of my mind, since it had been alone when it ran through the village wall, and there was every chance there would be no herd nearby. Once the elevator arrived, we stepped in and headed upward. and when the doors slid open again, we stepped out through the black building and headed toward the gate. Jungle warmth hit my face, and I looked up and saw it was another day of perfect weather in South Korea. The sky was bright blue, and there were only a few clouds that drifted overhead. The breeze was mild, and the air wasn't too sticky with heat.
A good day to get married, Tae sighed as he opened the latch on the gate. You are having all the luck today.
Don't jinx it, I chuckled. When I walked through the barrier, I was met with the sight of five of Kwan's black trucks, and each one was packed with Korean men armed to the teeth. The wedding entourage were all stone-faced and suited up for the occasion, and I tried so hard not to laugh at what my life had turned into lately. Kwan himself leaned against one of the vehicles with a cigarette dangling from his teeth, and he wore a black tuxedo with a dark green pocket square. His dagger was in a silver casing and clipped onto his belt, and he looked completely badass and ready to kill someone as he nodded at me.
Happy wedding day,
the Korean man said in a gravelly voice, and he took a long draw of his smoke.
Min Jun is already at the temple getting security set up.
Looks like there's plenty of it. I tipped my head toward the other trucks.
I am thorough in my work, Kwan shrugged. The women from the base have been at the temple all morning with the men, making sure the interior is all ready. Flowers and things like that.
And my women? I asked.
Safe inside the base getting presentable, he replied. They will have as much security, do not worry. Next group of trucks will pull in as we pull out.
I guess it's time then, Sun-hee said. Jason, you ride up front, of course.
I looked into the back of the truck and saw the benches had been covered with dark fabric I assumed was to stop the brothers' suits from getting dirty. Then I climbed up into the passenger seat, and Kwan took a final draw of his cigarette before he stubbed it out on the fender. My future father-in-law had smoke pouring from his nostrils as he jumped into the driver's seat, and he shouted an order in Korean. A second later, the truck engines all started together, and two of the vehicles pulled out in front of ours. The other three held back as we drove off. And when I looked over my shoulder, I saw a line of black trucks full of armed men trailing me to my wedding. Then five more pulled through the trees to park outside the base, and I shook my head at how tight this organization was.
How are you feeling? Kwan asked as we pulled out onto the road. Are you nervous?
Well, not yet, I said. But give me a few minutes and I'm sure I'll get there. The man grinned as he glanced at the sky, and I made sure to keep my focus on our surroundings as we headed for the village. As the road widened out, the trucks arranged themselves so we were fully surrounded. I felt like a weird cross between royalty and gangster, and it was hard not to feel safe with a small army of Korea's best fighters around me. How long will the ceremony last? I asked.
Not long, Kwan said. Korean weddings do not waste time. You say your vows, kiss the bride, well, brides, then you are done.
Vows, I groaned, and my nerves finally hit me in the gut.
I fucking forgot about vows. Was I supposed to write some?
It was short notice, Kwan said as he waved a hand. No need to worry. Just say what is in your heart, and it will be fine.
Right, I mumbled. I'm not really a public speaker, but I'll give it a shot.
You are not a public speaker,
Kwan asked with a raised eyebrow and a smirk.
But you have no problem jumping on the head of a dinosaur and impairing its brain?
I guess that one should be scarier, I chuckled. But no, public speaking has never been my strong suit.
Mine neither, Kwan said. I find silence speaks loudest. And a good gun on your hip.
I heard chuckling behind me, and I slowly glanced over my shoulder to see Sun-hee and Tae grinning from ear to ear. Both young men sent me a thumbs up, and I was once again grateful that I'd managed to win Haewon's dad over instead of ending up with a bullet in my head. Are you excited for Haewon to be married? I asked Kwan, and he nodded.
The world had turned to shit, he said. It is good to have something to celebrate. I am happy to welcome you into the family, Jason.
I'm happy too, I said with a grin. I think it's going to be fun as hell.
Ha!
He chuckled, and I jumped a little at the sudden bark of his gravelly voice. Still, his acceptance was all the wedding gift I needed, although I found my mind wandering to the Porsche that sat underground waiting for me too. The sound of gunshots and yells behind us snapped me out of my thoughts, and I spun around to see the men in the back truck mow down a Utah Raptor. The tall dino had a body full of bullets within seconds, and it crashed down onto the road with an almighty thud. A second dino launched itself from the trees toward the same truck, but the men were ready. They yelled as they shot into its neck and head, and one man spat at the dino as it swayed on the spot. It only took a few seconds for the Raptor to spurt with blood from all angles, and it fell forward as the driver swerved off to the side. The dead beast collapsed without hitting the vehicle, and the bodies quickly bled out all over the road as the men drove away. Quan shouted something, and the driver of the back truck gave him a thumbs up out the window.
"This is why we bring my men," the Underground King nodded. "No blood on your nice suit, see?"
"Yet," I chuckled, and I leaned back in the seat as we left the dead dinosaurs behind. I looked up at the cedar trees along the roadside and enjoyed the warmth on my face as we drove. The sky was calm, and there had been no signs of portals or flying dinos as we headed up the hill, which came just before the village of Sungup. As we drove down the other side, I could see the gateway sat open and ready for us. The wall that had been destroyed by the Carnotaurus appeared to have been fully restored, and it seemed most of the ruined house remains were gone. As we headed to the gateway, the trucks fell into a single-file line again, and I looked up to see there were men stationed on the outlook tower of the entrance. Four men with assault rifles stood facing different directions, and they all gave Quan a nod as we passed underneath. Right on the other side of the village wall, we were met with a sight of armed men everywhere. We weren't even near the temple, but groups of Korean men were stationed along every few feet of the road, and some of them were set up with the machine guns I'd seen in Quan's armory. "Holy shit," I muttered as I eyed the sea of weapons and black suits.
"Only the best for Hae-won's future husband," Sun Hee laughed and clapped me on the shoulder.
We drove slowly past the thatched roof houses, and I could see there were black trucks parked at the center of town beside the well-kept public gardens. I took a deep breath as we pulled into the middle of the small town, and I looked over to see the temple doors were open. There were even more armed guards stationed around the perimeter of the Buddhist temple, and Min Jun stood on the entrance steps as he spoke to one of the Korean men.
"Here we go,"
Quan said as he parked alongside the other trucks.
"Time to get married, Jason."
I opened the door and jumped down onto the ground with my sharp gun securely over my shoulder. Tae and Sun Hee joined me, and we started to head over to the temple as Quan spoke with his men. The bright colors of the building glowed under the sun, and as we got closer, I could smell sweet incense burning. It was a comforting smell, and I could see movement inside the doorway as a young woman hurried out with a wicker basket. She smiled at me as she pulled out cherry blossom petals and scattered them at the entrance.
"Jason,"
Min Jun said as we reached the steps.
"Everything is in order. We have men stationed throughout the entire village."
"I saw that," I laughed. "You really meant it when you said you were heading up security."
"I am a man of my word,"
the oldest brother nodded.
"I will make sure nothing ruins my little sister's big day."
"Let's go and look inside," Sun Hee said excitedly. "I bet it looks amazing."
"Hopefully the ladies will be here soon,"
Min Jun nodded.
"The sooner we can get started, the better."
The oldest brother strode down the steps and barked something at one of the men who had lit a cigarette, and the Korean guy promptly snubbed it out and tucked it back into his suit pocket. I hurried up the doorway with Tae and Sun Hee, and the smell of the incense got stronger as we stepped into the temple. Then my jaw unhinged as I looked around, and the brothers laughed as they watched me take it all in. The floor was made of gray and black marble, and the walls were covered in intricate tapestries. There were four red pillars which each stood in a corner of the room, and there was a golden Buddha statue up at the front that was larger than me. There were no chairs, but the young woman with the cherry blossoms had created a pathway up to the front with the petals, and candles were lit along a low table that ran along either side of the Buddha. There were also two golden dragon statues tucked into both top corners of the room, and their red eyes reflected the candlelight while their long tails curled up toward the tapestries.
"Whoa," I breathed. "I can't believe this place is in such good condition, just considering everything." "Of course, it is under my father's protection," Tae said with a shrug.
"Well, it's beautiful," I replied.
The girls are going to love it.
Holy shit.
Kat's voice came from behind me, and I spun around to see the corporal in the doorway with Adhara. If I thought the temple was beautiful, it was nothing compared to the two women. Kat's dirty blonde curly hair had been somewhat tamed into a messy bun, with little blue flowers pinned into it. She had some light makeup on and just enough eyeliner to make her hazel eyes look even more striking. But her outfit actually made me salivate. Her dress was a sultry dark purple silk, and it clung to every curve of her torso before it flared out from her tight waist and stopped just above her knees. Her perfectly smooth and golden bare legs were on full display below the silk, and I looked down to find her in sexy black high heels instead of combat boots. Beside the gorgeous soldier, my beautiful alien girlfriend stood with her silver hair curled slightly. So she looked like an intergalactic mermaid. Adhara also had silver glitter around her eyes that made her freckles even more mesmerizing. And she wore an emerald green dress that almost exactly matched her eyes. The dress was straight cut so it draped over her slim frame perfectly. But her pert breasts still strained a bit against the green fabric. And I couldn't help noticing Adhara was braless for my wedding day. Both women looked drop-dead fucking gorgeous, and my stomach did a flip as I looked them up and down about 5 times each. Fuck, I finally breathed as I stumbled toward the girls. You both look stunning.
The girls helped me,
Adhara said proudly as she jingled the golden bracelet.
They made me ready for wedding.
They sure did, I laughed. And I grabbed both girls by the hand as I admired them.
You look so handsome.
Kat sent me a lopsided grin.
I knew that suit was the right choice.
Yeah, and I didn't get a drop of blood on it during the drive here, I snorted.
Becca and Haywan will be here soon,
Kat said.
They're riding with G and about 1,000 armed guys.
I gave Minjun all my spare weapons I had left,
Adhara added, and gestured out the door.
And we brought some blasters and swords with us, too.
I craned my neck to look outside, and one of Quan's men was carrying a black container into the pristine grounds of the temple. It had a few blasters and fire swords inside, and the man hastily placed it down on the steps of the temple while Minjun stood nearby and gave a single nod of approval. Damn, Minjun doesn't mess around, I laughed. I'm glad, because you guys look way too stunning to get dirty fighting dinos today.
But we are ready,
Adhara nodded.
In case we must.
This place is so nice,
Kat said as she looked around the room.
Who is actually going to be inside for the ceremony?
Probably just the family, I said. You don't happen to know if Becca and Haywan wrote vows, do you?
Vows?
Kat snorted.
Becca spent the whole morning happy crying, and Haywan spent an hour on her eye makeup before she twirled about 100 times in the mirror. I don't think they wrote anything.
Oh, good, I chuckled. We're all in it together, then. I'm so happy you're both here with us. Really, you have no idea how much I love seeing you both dressed up like this.
We are happy also,
Adhara said as she smoothed out her dress.
Maybe there will be mating today?
Kat choked with laughter, and the back of my neck heated up as I glanced back at Haywan's brothers. Luckily, they didn't seem to be paying attention to our conversation, and seemed to be busy making sure the candle holders were all secure. Yeah, I said quietly as I turned back to the girls. Looking like that, you better believe there's going to be mating later. Adhara hummed happily as her gills fluttered, and Kat gave me a little wink before she eyed me up and down.
Keep the suit on,
the soldier murmured.
You just need to unzip the fly.
Yes, ma'am, I chuckled. Then Quan appeared in the doorway.
They're here, he announced. It is time for the ceremony to begin. The monk is arriving now.
Monk? I asked.
Yes, Quan said with a raised eyebrow. Who did you think would be performing the ceremony?
That makes sense, I guess, I said, although I was baffled the monk would come within 10 yards of the underground king. An older man in a red and orange robe walked in a moment later, and he had a shaved head and round glasses that perched at the end of his bulbous nose. He gave me a quick bow I returned, and then he made his way over to the candle-covered tables as he clutched a small book in his hands.
He lives in the village, Quan explained. I honestly did not know if he would be alive still, but he is.
Lucky for us, I smirked. Does he know about the, non-traditional nature of the ceremony?
The two wives?
Quan asked and ignored my delicate phrasing.
Yes, I have told him. He does not mind. He believes in no judgment.
He must.
Kat snorted.
He didn't even glance at the purple girl when he came in.
I do not mind if people look at me today,
Edhara said, as she smoothed down her dress again.
I think I like to be looked at in this.
Wish granted. I winked as Quan walked off to speak to the monk. For some reason, the addition of the monk made everything seem very real, and I had to take a couple of deep breaths as I looked around the room. I was really getting married in a Buddhist temple today, and all my lovers would be here to share the day with me. Then Tay and Sun He hurried up to the front of the temple with their father, and Kat peered out of the door.
They're here,
the soldier said excitedly.
Jason, I think we should go up to the front.
Here we go. I nodded and took one step, but then two arms looped through mine. When I looked on either side of me, I found Kat and Edhara smiling up at me, and the two beauties escorted me down the petal-covered walkway. The bald monk smiled as we reached him, and Quan waited right beside him with his usual stone-faced expression. In front of the men, there was a small table, and I smirked as I realized not two, but three ornately carved ducks were waiting there. The male duck was in the middle and wrapped in a red cloth, with two female ducks on either side, and when I glanced at Sun He, the youngest brother sent me a huge grin. Then the girls both left little kisses on my cheeks before they stood to the opposite side of Sun He and Tay, and I turned around to look toward the door. Min Jun was standing guard directly inside the temple doorway, and his mother appeared first. Ji wore a soft pink dress with little white flowers embroidered onto the hem, and her hair was pulled up in a neat bun that made her look even more like a Korean angel. She smiled softly as she made her way up the cherry blossom-covered aisle, and she squeezed my arm before she joined her husband beside the monk. I sent her as calm of a smile as I could manage, but my heart rate was suddenly jacked, and I stared at the doorway as goosebumps rose all over my arms. Any second now, the girls I'd started this whole apocalypse with would walk through that door. We'd been through so much together, right from the moment the dinosaurs started ravaging our planet. That day in the library had somehow led to the wildest adventures I'd ever been on. Two pregnancies, and a wedding in South Korea, and I was on cloud nine as my heartbeat thrummed loudly in my ears. The monk started to sing in a low, methodic chant behind me, and I took a deep breath as two shadows appeared in the doorway. Becca and Haewon stepped into the temple side by side, and I couldn't believe how beautiful they looked. Haewon was in her silvery white dress that clung to her petite frame before it puffed out at the skirt. Her hair was curled and swept to one side so it tumbled over her left shoulder, and a red lily flower was pinned on the right side. She wore dark, dramatic eye makeup that made her blue irises pop, and her dark red lipstick and black nails made her look like a chic goth princess. Her shoes were jet black platform heels that looked dangerously high, and they completed the outfit perfectly. Becca wore a white dress too, but hers was much more lacy and flowy. It was covered in silver details to complement Haewon's choice, and the cut of her dress was low enough to show off all of her amazing cleavage. She even had glittery silver shoes on to match, and to say she looked like a princess would be a gross understatement. The beautiful blonde's hair was pinned half up with dramatic waves in it, and her makeup was soft and glowy while her lips were puckered in a dusty pink. Both of my brides looked fucking perfect, and I suddenly felt a lump in my throat as I watched them walk hand in hand down the petal-covered floor. The monk stopped singing as the girls reached me, and they both sent me teary smiles that made my heart stop. I had assumed the monk would speak English after that, but he started to announce something in Korean as he read from his book, and he gestured to me several times while he spoke. Becca's lips twinged as she watched my confused expression only get more confused, and I knew she was trying so hard not to giggle during this, which made it nearly impossible to keep the smirk off my face. But I did my best to look like I was listening very intently. The monk kept talking for a few minutes, and then he gestured to Heiwan before he fell silent.
It is time for vows,
Heiwan whispered as I looked at her.
So I suppose we just say something short?
Sounds good, I smiled. Do you want to go first? Heiwan nodded, and she gently tucked a curl behind her ear as she smiled.
Jason,
she said, and G started to sob quietly into a handkerchief.
I could not imagine my life without you. You are always saving me and taking care of me. You have done this from the very first second I met you, and I am honored to have your child and to be your wife. I love you with my whole heart, and I will love you forever.
The monk gestured to me, and I figured it was my turn to have a go at summing up my love in a few sentences. I couldn't get the damn lump out of my throat, though, and as Heiwan's blue eyes fluttered a bit, I felt weak at the knees. Heiwan, I smiled and cleared my throat. You have amazed me from the moment I met you. You're incredibly smart, beautiful in every way, and always full of surprises. I can't wait to see what the future holds and to wake up next to you for the rest of my life. I love you, and I love my life with you. Heiwan blinked about a dozen times to try to stop her tears from smudging her makeup. But then I heard Kat sniff, and I glanced her way to see tears streaming down the soldier's pretty face. Edhara quickly handed her a tissue, and the alien rubbed the soldier's arm before she turned a focused scowl toward me. Then someone screamed outside, and we all swiveled to look at Minjun in the doorway. He had his alien blaster in hand as he gazed out into the grounds of the temple, and then he turned back around to say something in Korean. Kwan cleared his throat.
Let us hurry up the vows, the underground king muttered. They are very nice, but we should move on to Becca.
I stared at the doorway and saw a crowd of the armed men run across the grass as a massive shadow passed over the greenery. There was clearly something huge arriving out there, and it took all of my self-restraint not to run outside and join the fight. I said as I looked back at the girls. Okay, Becca?
Jason,
the blonde said, and as her voice trembled slightly, all of my attention zeroed in on her beautiful face.
I love you so much, it's insane. I cannot wait to have our baby and raise it with our amazing family. And probably be that couple who has pancakes on Saturday.
Minjun coughed from the doorway, and I glanced sideways to see him gesturing with his hand for us to speed it up. Becca continued.
And you're just super hot, and I love you, and you're the best, and I'm so happy. You have made me so happy. I love you more than I ever thought possible.
She finished up and shrugged with a giggle. Beautiful, I grinned. Becca, you are an absolutely amazing woman, and I promise I'll love you and our kid for the rest of my life. You're kind and brave, sassy, and probably one of the cutest people to ever exist. I would love to make pancakes with you on Saturdays until we grow old and grouchy together. I'm so lucky to have you.
You are,
Becca agreed, but her voice was so tight from crying that it sounded more like a croak. I chuckled at her adorable tears as the monk began speaking again, and then he offered us all a cheery bow. He pushed his glasses further up his nose, and then he started his low chant again. The shouts of Korean men echoed outside a couple of times, but no gunshots were heard, and finally the monk finished his ceremony.
You are officially man and wives, Kwan said,
and the girls squealed as they grabbed me into a hug.
We did it,
Becca whispered.
I am so happy,
Heiwan sighed, and suddenly Kat and Edhara had jumped in on the embrace. We stood intertwined for a moment while Kat and Heiwan peppered my face with lipstick kisses, and I kissed them any chance I got while I just tried not to tip over from the weight of all four of my women. When I finally resurfaced, everyone but Edhara had tears on their faces, but I could tell by the alien's little smile and crinkled eyebrows that she was moved by the situation.
Congratulations!
Sunhee said, as he slapped me on the back, and Heiwan grabbed him into a tight hug.
Thanks, man, I smiled. I thought for a minute they were going to have to postpone this all over a dino.
Minjun yelled something from outside, and Kwan sprinted toward his eldest son. I was right on his heels as my dress shoes skidded over cherry blossom petals, and then I heard a familiar crackling sound. By the time I stopped just outside the entrance of the Buddhist temple, there were screams and yells coming from all over the place, and the armed men in the grounds were looking upward. The blue sky had a tear in it, and a portal was in the process of opening. I could hear the flap of huge leathery wings echoing around us, followed by a wave of gunshots as something flew over the temple. Then an ear-splitting shriek came from the portal. The girls rushed over to join me, but their running was slightly hindered with their high heels and dresses.
"What is it?"
Kat asked as we stared at the portal. "It sounds like something is through already," I said. And then something truly horrifying flew out through the portal, followed by a whole flock of others. My mouth fell open as I stared at the biggest flying dinosaurs I'd ever seen. They looked like bizarre, evil storks. The beak was big enough to swallow 5 men whole, and it looked as sharp as hell. They were about 16 feet long, and their wingspan had to be 40 feet wide. Their bodies were covered in matted brown fur, and their wings had clawed hands sticking out of the ends. I couldn't believe the sheer size of the fuckers, and they just kept coming through the portal. Quan's men were screaming at each other and running, but the dinos were too far away to shoot as they flew over the village.
"Quetzalcoatlus!"
Sun-He gasped as he appeared beside me. His usually cheery face was pale, and Tay pushed past him to run outside. Sun-He had sweat on his forehead, but he shook himself and then tore after his brother. I didn't move a muscle while I stared upward, but the portal still wasn't closing. It seemed to stay stuck open way longer than usual, and I lost count of how many of the beasts flew out. They soared up over the rooftops and circled the skies of the entire village, but finally the portal began to close again.
"Oh, they're so fucking huge,"
Becca whimpered.
"How the hell do we kill something that size that can fly?"
"Jason,"
Haywan croaked as she clutched onto my arm.
"There are so many. What do we do?"
"They are the worst of the Omati,"
Adhara whispered.
"I recognize the pattern of their fur and feathers. Even our tamers cannot talk to these ones. They are wild and do not have any good in them."
"Fuck,"
Kat growled, and I didn't know how to even begin forming a plan. One of the flying creatures swooped down low over the village homes, and it let out a deafening screech that sounded like broken glass on metal. I looked at its glowing orange eyes as it flew back up into the sky, and I knew we were about to have the fight of our lives.